Welcome to another episode of Jokes Aside. I am your host, Nadiv Malcho, and today I have a really special guest here. We are in Los Angeles, California, and it's my very, very good friend, actor Jeff Wilbusch. Jeff, you know from a variety of projects, not to mention Unorthodox, the Netflix original series. I don't know why I said not to mention, because it's literally what I mentioned. The Little Drummer Girl, Oslo, which recently came out on HBO, and his most recent work in Breathe, which is another Netflix project. And we're going to get into all the details of everything shortly. For now, a warm round of applause for my good friend and super talent, Jeff Wilbusch. Yay!
You know how it starts like, boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom, bum, ba, boom. And then the beat drops more.
Oh, my muchkele, muchkele.
Make a funny.
Jokes aside, what is it, what is this?
Jokes aside, man.
Ah, it's good. Jokes aside.
My name's Nadiv. Welcome to my podcast.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Nadivi.
Yes, already your ears are being soothed by this vibrant, warm, and resonant voice.
Now I'd be self-conscious about it. So.
Now the whole interview, we're going to be like... Yeah. So I'm really excited about this episode because we met maybe like a year and a half ago, and we've gotten to know each other a lot closer over the last few months. And it's just, I think, the perfect time to sit down and have a discussion about acting, movies, art, life. In many ways, we're in a similar situation right now because we both made the big move to Los Angeles. And why I think it's so exciting to have you on the podcast is because as an actor, you're also sort of, you know, another level advanced from where I am right now. And it's really inspirational. And I love to learn from you and to pick your brain about things. And I think the audience will really enjoy it too. So why don't we begin at the beginning? Where and when did you find out sort of that you wanted to become an actor? Was this always the case or did it happen later in life?
No. So as a young boy and then as a teenager, I don't remember myself wanting to be an actor. I also didn't think you could become an actor. You know, I didn't know it's something you can become, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there is something like acting school.
So no one in your family was an actor or any of that?
No. No. And I did music a bit as a hobby. I don't think I was... very good at it, but
okay. Also good to know, process of elimination. What am I not good at?
Yeah, no, I mean it was something that I don't know, I loved doing, but I didn't think, you know, you could, I really didn't think you could, art is something you could do for a living, you know?
Yeah.
It just wasn't in my surrounding, you know? Mm-hmm. Movies is something that I like to watch, but it's not something that you could
make a living out of.
Yeah. It's not about money, but like do it for you. Yeah. Like,
or as a career, rather.
As a career, as a work, as something, you know, it just wasn't in my, I was in such a survival mode or such a running. So I wasn't, and in my surrounding, I didn't have, somebody who did art.
You say running. Do you feel that once you committed to the idea of, oh, I'm going to become an actor, did you sort of find yourself then? Were you like, oh, this is where my home is in many ways, or
I studied economics in Holland, yeah. And I was, you know, doing music as a hobby and, you know, writing songs.
You got a degree in economics as well? Like you studied it and
I studied, wow. I.
And, a numbers guy.
No, I don't know if I'm a numbers guy. I'm pretty, I don't know. I think there are way more talented people than me in music and way more talented people with me with numbers.
Yeah.
But some courses were really interesting, and I'm happy I studied it.
Does it sometimes inform you, like now, you know, obviously you are a very established actor. Do you ever find moments where you're like, wow, economics actually helped me now, either on the business side of acting or just to inform you as a performer maybe? Or do you feel like it's like two completely separate things and you're now on the right path?
Yes, definitely, but not so one-to-one, you know, like definitely just also that I was a student with, you know, just a student in university in Holland. Mm-hmm. It's already kind of a, you know, life experience and working in different jobs, you know, different side jobs before I became an actor is just a life experience. And I think studying is always good. Doesn't matter what you study, is always enriches you, you know?
Yeah. How old were you when you then ultimately decided to study acting at theater school?
So I was a bit lost, you know. I was happy to study and be able to study, you know, because it was where I came from was not, it wasn't, also studying wasn't something that, you know, was something that was planned for me to happen. And you know, and I did it, and it was very, you know, I was happy about that. But like, as my master's degree, I was about to finish it, I was like looking for what I really want to do, you know, because kind of my survival mode was, now I have my degree or would have my master's degree, and, you know, and what do I want to do actually, you know, questions that I never really answered myself fully, you know, because I was, you know, the hierarchy of needs, you know, mm-hmm. So I was, you know, the father of the family of my ex-girlfriend, mm-hmm. they were artists. And for me, it was very interesting to see artistic family, you know. For me, it was first time I saw the way they with each other and when what they do for work. And you know, the father was a choreographer.
It's kind of groundbreaking, right? When you suddenly see it in front of you, it becomes more palpable, more realistic. Yeah. Suddenly it's not like this like distant dream of like, you can't do this for a job.
And the mother
job,
was a designer, and I was very intrigued by what they do and also how they behave with each other. I'm not saying that like only artistic families are good or something, but in all the families that I've seen were bad, not at all. But it's just, it was something very new to me.
Yeah.
This creative family, you know, and the father asked me if I want to do music with his show, you know, with the dancers, and I did music. I don't think it was like.
You ruined his band.
Exactly. I ruined the show, but I also didn't really understand what the dancers did, you know, with the movement, but I felt this is something that I'm very attracted to, you know, this world. And somehow I just went to audition for an acting school.
Huh.
And,
this was in Germany or
in Israel,
Israel,
Tel Aviv. I went, I will still have to write my master's thesis, and I got accepted in Israel to an acting school. They said, I have something. I'm very unorganized, but I have something. I remember when I went, I wanted to do the monologue. I asked, where do I look? I said, look in my eyes and do the monologue, you know, and I did it. And it was for me like drinking water after years of not drinking, you know. It was for me really
refreshing, one might say.
more. It was really like coming back to life or something, or like really coming home.
Wow.
Coming home.
Beautiful.
Yeah, to be in the body, you know. It's like I was somewhere else in my mind, in my body, and coming back to oneself and being happy, you know, with being connected. I don't know. I just.
Since then, have you had moments where you second guessed it, or you thought maybe I should do something else? Or
every day. It's a blessing and a curse. You know, it's both. It's a blessing. I don't want to say it's a curse, but
No, I know what you
it's
mean.
It's for those who are listening or think, you know, you never, you say in German, du kommst nie an. You know, how do you, you never reach the crown. You never see, okay, now I made it. You know, it's always, it's like a computer game, which is just then the next level. And then the monsters are different, you know?
It's a really interesting point that you bring up, because I think a lot of people, and I include myself when I started wanting to become an actor, but later when I was a teenager and stuff like that, because from very young, I knew I wanted to act, but you can really easily go away from the thing that made you fall in love with it in the first place to those goals that you're talking about. I guess the most obvious one is, you know, to find success in the form of fame or an Oscar and all these things. And I think that I struggled with that for a while, of trying to reach this idea of what I thought a successful actor would look like, as opposed to reminding myself, what do I love about this? What do I really want to achieve in my art? What is my purpose, one might say? And to fall in love with the process of it again, because I find that a lot of actors will get lost along the way if they only have that one goal. Because if you do reach a certain goal, you know how it is, human nature, right? You immediately want something else, and you'll never sort of find zen or happiness or peace. So I'm teaching myself now at 31 years old again to re-fall in love with the actual craft and the passion behind it, and not just think, I will only see myself as a successful actor if I reach a certain amount of, I don't know, movies or followers or awards, you know? Do you relate to that in any way, or?
Yeah, very much. To enjoy the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me know when you succeed, because
what is success?
No, I mean, you know, I play now a movie and I remember somebody saying, enjoy it. You know, you're the main role, you know, like enjoy it. But it's hard because you're busy with, you know, stressing out about doing it good or something, things that don't work or things that you think should be different. And, you know, with being the main role, it comes also responsibility. You know, you always wanted to be the number one on call sheet, you know, and then, but then it comes also, it's, you know, you can also, you know, it's, you carry it. So it's,
challenges
and responsibility and, you know, so it's both, with the, adaptation thing. This is actually something that I wrote my thesis on in the university, about happiness and income, you know. And so you have with money also, you have hedonic adaptation, you know, when people like earn a certain amount of money, you know, they start to, they adapt very fast to that.
So you get used to it very quickly.
Yeah. So, you know, you have, you know, you're 5 minutes happy now, and then you adapt to it, you know, and then you find another guy to a person to compare yourself to. It's also, but the other thing is when you lose, you know, stuff, then you don't adapt so fast. So you never forget that if you lived on the street and you live in a villa now, you forget very fast that you lived once on the street. Right. But when you live now on the street and we're in a villa, it's so the same. Also, I think with acting is that, you know, it's ups and down. I saw a beautiful, interesting movie about Rita Moreno. On HBO just yesterday. Also,
The documentary.
Yeah, the documentary.
I want to see that. Yeah.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
What did she
interesting,
say?
Inspiring woman. No, she said it's about ups and downs also in the career. And the thing is also, you know, you're successful and you kind of made it, you know, and then, but then it's also, it's not always like that. So yeah, it's very important, I think, to find why. I remember I cried from happiness, you know, like when I had my first little job, you know, and this is just something that I also remind myself to be, you know,
grateful,
but also in a sense of like why I chose this path and why do I love it and why do I do it. And
Do you think there's one that, speaking of Rita Moreno and the ups and downs, do you think that beyond talent, is there something that an actor needs from your experience in order to, let's say, survive in this industry or to have a healthy long-term career? And again, besides being in the right place, right time and talent, but I'm speaking more like internally. Is there something that you need to work on, to develop, to in order to really, yeah, survive?
Yeah.
Handle the downs, rather, you know, how to handle them.
I hope somebody could tell me that. I don't know myself. No, I don't know.
Or how do you get yourself out of down moments where you lose confidence? Or
it's a good question, because first of all, after a long time of working, I feel weird not to be on set. And like, do I need hobbies, or like, what do I do, you know, like with my free time, you know, what am I without being an actor? I think it's a fine line between saying, I will give everything. I will be passionate. If I'm getting an audition, if I like the role, you know, will just do my freaking best that I think that I can do my best, you know. If I did my best, it's okay, you know, but like to do my best and to know that I reached the maximum I could do for this character on the one hand. But a fine line also to do, okay, you know, if I'm not getting it, my life is not worth living. And if I'm not becoming this extremely successful actor, there is no taste to my life, I'm nothing, I'm worthless. I think this is the unhealthy, you know? Mm-hmm, so, so not to take as an excuse to, because I do think you need to go all in and to work very hard and to take risks and, you know, and to believe in yourself. And it's not a sprint, you know, it's a marathon, but, and it's,
yeah,
to be persistent and persevere. And, you know, you really need to, but also the thing of saying, okay, also looking realistically and saying, you know, not like a normal, you know, you don't get it, I don't know, a few months, you know, I gave myself always time. I said, okay, 2 years now, 3 years.
So you did set out a goal for yourself to say, if I don't reach a certain level of work after a few years, then maybe I should consider taking a step back.
Yeah, you know, just to see if really, no, but you know.
Did that push you more, would you say?
Yeah, but it's a, yeah, because, for example, I gave myself, I said, okay, I'm doing this and then I'm doing 2 years, you know what? But then I gave everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look every day on the clock and say, oh, it didn't happen yet, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't want to wake up, you know, the end of my life and say why I was, you know, I don't know, I was, you know, chasing tails, you know, but being also a maniac about that. You said in English, can you say
that? You can say that 100%.
Yeah.
It's almost this fine line between being like slightly obsessed over it.
Not slightly, very obsessed.
Very obsessed.
Very obsessed. On the one hand, very obsessed. Definitely. But the funny thing is, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or something, but a lot of people that I, not a lot, but a few people that I look into that are, you know, saying that people I know, you know, like, you know, why are we not making it, or why? And then really when they have an audition or something, or they have this option, they spend maybe 1% of the time that I spend on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but they spend so much energy on being like sad that they're not making it.
See, this is it's a great point, because this is why I asked you, like, other than talent, which of course is a thing, what do you need? And I think,
What's talent, you know? What's talent? I mean, what's talent, you know? Mm-hmm. Who said it? Einstein, I think, you know, this is a very curious person. I mean, obviously, Einstein was a genius, but still, you know, I think there is a lot of truth to
And he flunked math, right? He failed in class.
It's if you do something,
I think,
with a lot of love and a lot of energy and a lot of sweat,
yeah,
you will reach somewhere, you know.
Do you think you have to be born with it, or you work on it?
Let's put it that way. I know a lot of talented people who don't work. Mm. I don't know if I know a lot of them, but I know some talented people mm-hmm. who don't work.
So you're saying it's not enough to
they
just
don't work
be
because they're not
it.
because they're not hardworking enough, or they don't want it enough. It's also okay. It's also fine. You know, it's actually a lot of people say I know I could, but I'm a good musician. I don't want to be a musician. I'm a good actor. I don't want to be an actor. I'm a good mathematician. I don't want to do math. You know, whatever. Like you mm-hmm. know, it's just. But. And a lot of people, you thought, oh, they're not that talented, but they work very hard, and then they become talented. You know what I mean?
Yes, I agree with you, and I think that there are people that are, of course, naturally gifted with acting, with music, with comedy, whatever it is.
But it's not enough.
It's not enough, and I think that in German, I guess you say Ausdauer. You need
Ausdauer. Exactly.
Conditioning,
but it's also this. I think also the comparison to sports is very important. It's very interesting. You could be very fit, you know, mm-hmm. just naturally fit, but to run a marathon, for example,
yeah,
you know, it's a whole
different mindset.
It's a mindset, and you know, maybe you will have a Vorsprung. How do you say it?
An advantage.
You know, an advantage.
Yeah, yeah.
In the beginning, you know, in the acting school, you saw it, you know, people who came maybe from, you know, families who were actors or had experiences as kids, you know, so you have a Vorsprung advantage, you know, before. Yeah. But who comes at the end of the game or like, you know, a few years later, you know, this is a whole different game.
Yeah,
and,
it's not too different from Squid Game. I don't want to give anything away, but there's a lot of symbolism behind.
I didn't see that. Yeah. I didn't see it. But, you know, it's like the cool people in high school, you know. It's, you know, where yes. they are maybe after a few years or something.
Yeah, there's a saying that I actually developed a concept for a TV show with my friend about this called Peaked in High School, which mm-hmm. is, you know, not to be too negative and, you know, it's great if you're cool in high school, but also generally a great person and develop into that further in life. Yeah. But the log line of this TV show that I developed was the worst thing about being cool in high school is being a loser for the rest of your life. And this is an over-exaggeration, you know, but it's true.
Yeah, you know, there are also people that were very popular in high school or in acting school, mm-hmm. very talented and became very talented. It's not black and white. I'm just saying, you know, it's not about something immediate, you know.
Yes.
There are also, you see it in music, you see it in, you know, people that make maybe a great project and then they disappear because they don't want to maybe, I don't know myself. I cannot talk also so much for other people. What I can say is that I think it's just, you need to work very, very hard. If this is the audience who listen to us and want to know how, I think you need to work very, very hard and put your energy in the right place. I think also people spend so much energy about the no that they get and not concentrate on the yes or the auditions they actually get and don't do good enough because they just don't spend enough time to work on it and to think about the character or enjoy, like you said, enjoy the moment. You get an audition, it's a fun character, think about it, you know, enjoy acting. I remember in the acting school doing in the last round in the German acting school, I said to myself, because it was very close and I knew there is now a big chance enough that I'm getting accepted. So I was like, doesn't matter. I'm doing it now for myself. I get a stage. I get an audience. It's my dream of my life. You had to do a scene. And I was like, I'm doing now a scene. And it's my project. It's my art project. It was really, you know, you had even like a whole day to prepare it, mm-hmm. 2 days, and perform it with somebody from the school. They're already in the school because it was last round. And I remember deciding, and I think this is also what was one of the major things that made me like get accepted to the school is that to have fun, you know, like to really like put the energy in. And this is also what you mean with life and death thing. Mm-hmm. I used to remember also like seeing auditions or seeing myself after I got accepted in acting school as life and death thing. And it's not good because it's good to have this energy of like, I'm going all in. But when you act, you need to have fun and you need to be concentrated in the scene, you know, mm-hmm. and like,
yeah, you know, and strip away the expectation of the outcome.
Even if you have fear of life and death in a character, you need to have fun to have fear. You know what I mean? You need to.
Do you have fun playing? Because you've also played a lot of darker characters in your work. Do you still have fun playing roles that are dealing with struggles and conflict and you know, darker thoughts? Like, do you still have fun within it, or is it more I have fun afterwards when I watch it at the premiere or something?
I think watching is always difficult for me. Like watching, I mean, I'm very curious, but it's, I wouldn't like watching myself. I wouldn't like describe as, oh, fun watching myself. It's always like, you know, like
yeah,
I'm curious, but it's not fun to watch. Working is not fun. What's fun, you know, is like, you know, fun, but it's the conflict is something that that I really always want. And sometimes there is no obvious conflict in the character and then it's less fun. So the bigger the conflict, the
bigger the challenge,
the bigger the fun, the bigger, the more fun is it in the end. You know, fun is like a word, but I like the word fun. Yeah. Because it's fun.
Yeah.
I have fun not having fun, you know, as a character, you know.
Do you take your characters home when you're working on a series or a movie, or do you leave it on the set? Like they call cut, end of the day, you can go home and be Jeff, fully Jeff without that.
It's interesting because now I'm noticing that if you are busy with a character all day, it does with you something. So you can't, I'm not taking it consciously, but it's there. I always think about it. When I'm awake, I'm always thinking about the character. That's the fun part about that. It's like wake up at night and thinking about something or dreaming about that. I have auditions and I'm thinking about, you know, playing brother. I think about my brother, you know. It's just like, it's, of course.
And let's jump a bit forward and, because there's a few things I want to cover. Maybe at the very end, I'll ask you for some advice for young actors, which includes drama school. But I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. The first big experience that you had was the series A Little Drummer Girl opposite Florence Pugh. And I would say, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the Netflix series Unorthodox was maybe the biggest platform that you had.
Definitely my biggest role until then. I did stage work before, but this is with the biggest role that I had on TV, and it was not that long ago. So also a lot of things that you ask me is like, I'm not this wise old guy because I'm like, it's happening now. I may be, you know, not so young age wise.
So maybe we'll do a part two in 5 years and see
how your thoughts change,
if anything.
But it's like, it's happening. So I'm, you know, I can say what for me, at least, you know, I started learning acting 10 years ago, about 10 years ago. Yeah. So it's not,
it's fresh.
It's not yesterday, but it's also not that long ago, you know?
Did you notice obviously Unorthodox specifically was a huge international success, a brilliant show for those of you that if you haven't seen it, you probably have, but go and check it out on Netflix. And that was internationally recognized. It got many Emmy Award nominations and some wins and. Did it change something in you? Did you notice any change in you as Jeff, the success that came with that? And B, Jeff as an actor, like, did you, I don't know, have different expectations moving forward with other roles? Did it change your personal life? Because you did get a lot of attention for it. You won a Satellite Award, which is, you know, No joke. It's a huge honor. So I'm just curious, also generally as a friend, did you notice a shift in you, in your personal life and in your work life? And if so, what was that?
Look, as a person, first of all, it came exactly with COVID. So the whole world like changed. So, you know, it was like really literally together with COVID. Such a weird...
weird circumstance of timing also.
Of timing, like both is just like, you know. It changed for me, yes. It brought up also a lot of wounds. It brought a lot of positive things. I think it was very nice, obviously, to be, you know, recognized. And I got so many beautiful messages from all over the world, from countries that I, you know, would never be able even to visit, you know, you know, word of peace and, you know, just human, you know, which is beautiful. Interviews that I gave made me a bit of... It was hard for me to do interviews and to get used to it, and also telling too much about my private life that stuff that are still happening and were happening parallel, you know, with my family. Just a lot of stuff that I'm...
And those are things that you don't learn in drama school, right?
No, you don't learn in drama school. We can talk about drama school. This is also, I think, a lot of, you know, people, yeah, but...
yeah, we'll get there. We'll definitely talk about that. Yeah.
But yeah, but now I came kind of to a peace of mind in that. And in a big picture, it was a very, you know, looking back, which is, I think, exactly 1.5 years ago it came out. It was an amazing 1.5 years. And COVID was a very sad thing for the world, but I think also a learning experience. No.
Yeah, and those things really came exactly.
I mean, a lot of really sad. You know,
within the sadness, also, people were able to sit and watch this shows like that, and like you say, you got messages from all around the world. Yeah. So it shows that also in a time of difficulty, entertainment and media and stories, movies and series, were for many people, especially privileged people that have access to this stuff, but that were able to say, hey, this is helping me get through the day.
I don't know privileged people. So it's interesting. A lot of people, Netflix is like everywhere, you know? So it's like a lot of people
talking about also,
you know, the thing with cinema, not cinema, you know? So like a lot of people.
That's true.
Insular communities, they will still have access to a screen with Netflix. They maybe know won't go to cinema, and the cinema wasn't... I love cinema, you know, and we will go tonight hopefully to the cinema. But like, you know what I mean? So yeah, there was also kind of the power of telling stories that I almost didn't believe or underestimated, you know, because I thought it's naive to think that like a story can change the world, or, you know.
It's so true.
So it was beautiful to see.
And we don't, I mean, we can or cannot get into those details. Certainly not the focus of today's interview or conversation. Yeah. But Unorthodox was in many ways quite a personal story for you. You say it brought up a lot of wounds and stuff. Is that something, and I'll let you talk as little or as much as you want about that. Is that something where after the experience you say to yourself, it was so important for me to tap into a story like Unorthodox, a series where I have a personal connection to the themes and topics? Or are you rather at a place where you say, I'd rather play roles in stories where I can escape sort of some of the things that I've experienced in order to experience new things? Where do you stand as an actor with those, you know?
All of the above.
Yeah.
All of the above. You know, like I ran so far away from all these themes, you know, and, you know, the script of life, the movie we live in, you know.
Yeah.
Funny enough was the biggest role of TV, my, you know, whatever you can call it, you know, breakthrough, whatever, you know, like this was something that has to do with my with my personal story in a way. Not Moishe, not the character, but like the theme of the show. So this is, first of all, you know, something that it was like, okay, you know. And also in theater, even in stage work, you know, I wanted to be this, you know, like this German actor, you know, but you are what you are, you know. And this is also Rita Moreno, by the way. She said something very interesting last night. It was a very inspiring movie. So, you know, you are what you are. And I think it's both. I think as an actor, an Austrian Jewish director called Max Reinhardt. His name was Max Goldman. He's changing his name because Goldman Max was too Reinhardt, Jewish.
Yeah. Who also, by the way, there's a brilliant acting school in Austria that was founded.
So I was in this Reinhardt acting seminar. School. I was visiting there.
You know, my father was a teacher there for many years.
I know. Yeah. And so I visited the father of my ex-girlfriend there in the acting school. There was a teacher teaching there.
Small
and we
world.
Just do the movie together. It's funny. Anyway, the world, life is just funny. Life is just
That's
funny.
That's an understatement for sure.
But so there was like this saying there on the wall, which really haunts me in a good way until today. It's like, you know, it's beautiful to, years ago I already saw it, and it's for me, it's so good to meet a role which on the surface is so far away from you, and in the end of the journey you find yourself in this character.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's beautiful.
So I think a lot of people tell me, why, but you do project that I had a lot of, you know,
had a lot to do with.
I had a lot to do with you, but like looking back, yes and no, and no and yes, you know, and it's both.
Yeah.
You know, you do a step to the character and take the character to you, and you do a step to the character and take again a step to you. So it's both, you know, and then it becomes this thing together, you know. So,
yes, the symbiosis of
because I want your personality, you know, to see. It's interesting for me, you know, like I don't, you know, it's not Nadiv, you know, is interesting. I want to see him doing, you know, Hamlet, you know. And obviously, you know, it's Hamlet has its own, you know, story and lines and text. So it's both, you know, it's both.
You discover things about yourself. But that's such a, when you say you are who you are, that's such a, almost a profound thing to say. And I don't want to say, but it's very hard for people to discover who that is. It takes some people forever,
no,
a lifetime.
Exactly. You know, be yourself, you know.
Who am I? Especially when you're playing 10 different characters.
Of course. So that's why I'm saying is like, it's not, oh, I'm playing this. Oh, I'm not playing this. It's like, it's both. And then you finding yourself and then you're learning about yourself. So I think always when I see a character that I need to make myself smaller, it's not a good sign. I want to play characters that I'm less interesting, less, you know, that I'm personally, I need to learn something to get there, or I need to learn a new language or new skill or a new, you know, they're smarter than me, they're more brave than me, they're more dangerous than me, whatever, they're more dark than me, they're more.
So maybe it's not only about
bigger
like
conflict that I have in my life, you know.
So maybe it's not only about being like finding yourself within a role, but also further developing yourself at the end of the journey, where you say, oh wow, look, I don't, not only like could identify, I grew, I became an, I updated, I'm updated as a person after this, you know.
I mean, look, it's for sure. And I mean, I'm not a philosopher, you know, there is also, you know, an issue about like, you know, who will play what, you know, also, which is very important, you know. But I think, obviously, I don't want only to play, I don't know, only Jews or, you know, it's just, but yeah, you can also run away from, you know, who you are, you know, so, and if you can tell a story through your experience and acting skills and, you know, learning something new, it's a blessing, you know, because you can do all of it. I think ideally you have all of it. You have a bit of your personal connection. You need to do a lot of, learn still a lot, you know, and you know, I, you know what I mean?
100%. That's how I felt like playing German snowboarder in downhill.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Bartender number two.
You know, so first of all, you know, so you have a bit connection because you're Austrian.
No, I joke, but it's actually true in this case. Know, it is actually true.
You're a bit Austrian, yeah. So you and you have the snowboarding skill from home.
This is very kind of you to make it so personal for me. But
I
would say it's as deep as your personal story with Unorthodox, almost.
So you need to do those things, and yeah. But then you need to learn other skills because. You need to, you weren't that of a good of a snowboarder before. So you need to take snowboarding lessons, no?
That's, I think, one of the most beautiful things about acting is that you actually get a slice of life from, you get to learn. Okay, we don't become experts.
The slice of life is something that I'm really...
The slice of life
I love it.
Because you, as actors, let's say, okay, stupid example. Yeah. I played a doctor.
Yeah.
I could have gone in there and just done my lines and whatever. It wasn't a big role. So what is two days on set? Yeah. But... I take it serious. I love it. And so you learn about the topics, right? So we as actors become experts at different topics. And okay, but maybe we'll forget it later in life.
I don't know about experts.
Experts while you're filming. It's 2 months later, I know nothing again.
I don't know about experts. But the thing is, because you brought a simple example, it's I think I get clothes that I would never wear myself.
Yeah.
So, but I'm getting dressed in that. So it changes also my taste in clothes because I'm getting... You know, so you have those stuff that
informs you, educates you.
Yeah, playing a father that just got a child. I don't have children, but but then, there is really somebody who is, tell us how, and a real, baby, it's just
chances are you'll play a father, before you are a father, let's say. Do you think that you can learn from the mistakes of your characters? Let's say you're playing a father that isn't the best father. Do you think that you can take that and say, oh, interesting. You know what? I don't want to do this when I become a father. I'm actually learning from the character for real life.
I have in a perverse way, the other way around, that stuff are happening to me in life. And then the camera of the actor is oh, this is how it feels when you get a very bad message that, and something I'm like, wow, is it no, it's not, no, when you get a disassociation from yourself because you see yourself from outside, what I mean? Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. It's, what do you think some of the, do you take it personally if you audition, for example, you audition for something that you know you are right for? Like we spoke about, it's you have your personal experiences, it's a similar story, and you're willing to learn, you're talented, and you don't get the part. Let's say you wouldn't have gotten Unorthodox. Would you? What advice do you give for people that are starting out in this industry or are advanced of not taking things personally, and when you can separate the work and whatever the director needs.
By the way, I almost didn't get Unorthodox because really? Moshe was a small, was not that far from reality. How you don't take it personally? I don't know.
Or rather, do you take it personally? If you don't get
of course you take it personally, of course. But you try to tell yourself, the four agreements, I'm a big fan of the four agreements.
By the way, Shira Haas, yes,
one Orthodox.
Yeah.
She introduced me to the four agreements, I remember.
Do you know them off the top of your head?
Never don't take it personally.
Yeah.
Always do your best. I'm here on the thing. Always your best. Don't take it personally. Be impeccable with your word.
Be impeccable with your work or word?
With your word, but also your work is good.
Yeah.
And don't make assumptions.
Ah, yes. There's a beautiful saying. I don't know if you ever learned it.
Yeah.
Don't assume because it makes an ass out of you and me. That's how you spell it.
But all those things is very good. I think I'm
I love how you just ignored that. I'm like, it's a beautiful thing. No, it's you're like, cool, but, yeah. No, but,
so always do your best. I think is the thing that I'm.
Yeah.
I'm not. That I'm closest. The rest, it is. It's.
You're working on. It's a progress.
I'm not doing my best there.
But it is fun. It's nice. It comes full circle because at the beginning of the episode, you say, as long as you do your best, there's only so much you can do, and you leave the rest up to the universe, sort of.
Yeah.
And that is. That part, number one, do your best, do the best that you can and have fun doing it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's quickly go to, we'll do a quick visit to drama school. Mm. And we don't need to stay there long.
Yeah.
But what I want people to also get from this episode is, I mean, it's interesting for anyone that, even people that aren't actors and people that enjoy your work, but also for actors that are starting out. Let's start, basic question. Do you think that every actor should go to drama school? Or do you think that you can go right into it?
It's a big responsibility. I can speak for myself.
For yourself, yeah.
For myself. I think,
or at least what it did for you.
I think drama school was good for me. So I think generally it's good, drama school. From my perspective, you know, I don't know if for everybody. I think it's a good question, because I think, and this has also come my conflict, because, and then what I don't like about drama schools is that they take themselves so seriously. So people are in the third years and they have a really good job offer in a theater and the film, so they're not allowed to do that. Because they
don't want you to audition while you're still in school, for
because
example.
You didn't finish your work, and they forget that it's about not being about a good student, it's about being, or good drama student, it's about becoming a good actor. So what is it about here, you know? So, and the thing of learning in drama school is that in the end you will have a chance and get hopefully an audition and be a working actor. So this is being forgotten, that, you know, so this is something that I will be cautious about with drama school, in this sense. So if you have a great, you know, like, but education and coaching is definitely important, but also there, you know, choose
your teachers wisely.
You know, because it's, you know, who choose your teachers wisely.
Did you learn more from drama school or on the job? Like on set or on stage?
It's all learning experiences. But in a funny way, from drama schools, I didn't learn acting. I learned...
About yourself? Opening up?
I learned that I don't need a drama school. But for that, I needed the drama school in a weird way. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
I needed to have this experience that they all tell me what I can do and that I won't be an actor. But to understand that you are you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be only you. And you are what you are. And your talent is your talent. You need to protect it.
Yeah.
And you need to put a filter. And this is, I heard it before, so it's not my...
Mm-hmm.
I heard it in drama school, basically, but this is that you put always filter, but I heard it with from a working actor, you know, put always a filter on feedback, you know,
important,
positive and negative, positive yes. and negative.
Yes, 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 yes.
So
yes.
Also in my, when you do an audition and you know, you could do it better and your team, your friends say, this is amazing, but you yourself know that you need another take and you will do it better.
Mm.
Do another take.
Do the best work you
can. If it's not working, sometimes it's also fun to see, the first take you did was the best. Do 10 others, just the one was magic. Then you did another one.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's not in vain, you know? You did another one to know. But if you feel it, and mostly you're right, if you really feel that you need to do another one, do another one.
This is so important for people listening, because I think that that's something you can take not only for acting, but so many things in life. And let's take Instagram for a reason, because, or rather as an example, it is so disheartening when you get a negative comment, or it's so like you can take it so personally and be so down on yourself if you get either negative feedback or hate or whatever it is, or too little likes. But the opposite of that is, the flip side of the coin is, don't take positive comments too personally either. Like, take it with a grain of salt, because you can lose yourself on both sides. I think it's not healthy.
Instagram is even not worth mentioning in this sense, because this algorithm. No, I mean, it's likes, not likes,
the algorithm right now is in an anti-Semitic phase. I'm like, guys, are you skipping me or what's going on? Yeah. I need to hide my like count so people don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, talk I to leave them. The big
no,
ones.
No, but it's but also, so even positive, positive and negative feedback, just always with a filter, listen to it, because, you know, but like, filter, you know, is it really something? And, you know, sometimes I also think when I get a job, I think, why me? You know, like, everybody has a job to tell, you know, what, you know, they think. It's, and I listen to that. But, you know, I, and in the end, of course, obviously, there are some people say you need, you know, whatever. But, like, I can only do me, you know, the way I see it.
So what does you look like for the near future? What is something that you're now living in LA, by the way, you know, you had a beautiful start to your career in Europe and now you've transitioned to the US and you just finished shooting an amazing new series called Breathe, which will come out on Netflix. Don't want to give too much away because I don't know how much is out there. I guess this was one of your newer experiences in terms of like a US, a fully American show, even though I have to say on the side note, make sure to watch Jeff in Oslo. Not only is it a beautiful and important story, but your performance is excellent. I really am. But don't take my positive feedback too personally. I have a filter.
I take it with a filter. Don't worry. With you, I take anyway two filters.
With a grain of kosher salt. But Breathe, you just finished that. And so what's next for you in terms of what you want to work on or achieve or yeah.
I think I last auditioned too.
Yeah. You just did a beautiful audition. The perfect example of you did the best that you could, which was incredible. And the rest is up to the film gods.
I had a good reader.
Who was your reader? Let's tell the audience.
Nadiv.
Malcho. Excellent. Excellent. Jeff, this was an amazing episode. I really enjoyed it.
I love you, brother.
I love you too.
I really love you.
I love you so much.
I really do. I know people say love you, but I really do love you.
No, it's becoming an issue for me. It's I'm questioning many things in my life. I'm about to drop acting just to follow you into the...
No. Don't lose yourself in this relationship.
Okay, I will stay true to myself.
We need to be in a relationship.
But independent.
As my dialect coach is saying.
Yeah.
You need to have two big, strong people.
Okay. That's very much how my parents lead their life and relationships. They are two very strong individual pillars, but they are also holding up a beautiful home. And it is, if I take one thing from this, and I'll take many things, is be you, stay true to yourself, and work your ass off if you
always do your best.
Always do your best.
And do it with love and fun.
Exactly that. I hope you all learned something from this. I know I did.
Go to an acting school, but don't take it also too seriously.
Yeah.
And don't let them break you.
Yeah, that's great advice. Definitely. Thank you, Jeff. I am excited to continue to observe your beautiful, colorful career from a distance. Hopefully we get to work together one day.
I'm observing your career. I don't know what about you.
Thank you. Yeah, I got into porno a little bit now, but it's okay. It's a dark path.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll tell you about it off the record. No, thank you for taking the time. I hope this was insightful for people. I love you, brother.
I love you.
Mwah. Ciao, ciao. That was another episode of Jokes Aside. Monkey dance.